tell the story.
This is First Nation Ministries. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to Native American tribes throughout North America, providing food, clothing, and other life essentials. Now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Boettcher. We'll pick up where we left off on Tuesday as Debbie continues with her teaching, Do We Really Know God?
Psalm 36:9 says, In your light we see light. God knows all, and it is upon His knowledge that we have to depend if we're going to know anything. Any true understanding which we gain, either intentionally or unintentionally from God, it is God who teaches knowledge. And Psalm 94:10 speaks of that. We think, but true knowledge is derived and dependent from God's knowledge as it is revealed to us. In other words, we cannot attain true knowledge or true understanding of anything unless God reveals it to us. The big difference between a human being and a supreme being is this: apart from God, I cannot exist. Apart from me, God does exist. God doesn't need me in order to be, for Him to be, but I need God in order for me to be me. So, how does God's independence affect His trustworthiness in our lives? His independence assures us that He will keep His promise, because nothing we do can get in His way, and nothing can stop Him or thwart Him or divert Him. When you and I make a promise, there's a lot of things that can keep us from fulfilling the promise. People can interrupt us, traffic can stop us, weather can ruin our plans, but we're dependent on our circumstances to keep our promises. But because God is independent, nothing outside of Him can ever keep Him from fulfilling His promise, and that's why we can trust Him. He never changes. Malachi 3:6 talks of it. There is no need for God to change either, because He's perfect already. He doesn't need any improvement. Nothing can add or take away from His being, because it's faultless. He can't learn anything more. He can't grow wiser, because He already knows everything that can be known. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 speaks of that. And because God never changes, His purposes never change, His ways never change, and His promises never change. Praise His name. God interacts with us. He responds to us, His creation. He listens to our prayers. He sees our actions. He knows our hearts. He responds to us with compassion and wisdom. But none of these actions alter His eternal purposes. What God works out in time and space is what He proposed and planned to do from all eternity. You can read about that in Psalm 33:11. Even when the Bible speaks about God changing His mind, it doesn't mean that He changes His ultimate purpose. It means that He simply chooses to deal with something in a new way. But it doesn't imply a change from what He planned to do all along. It's new from our perspective, but not from God's. Unlike God, however, everything He created changes all the time. Creation is always in a state of flux. Nothing stays the same. The ocean tides change, the weather patterns change, the color of leaves change, people change. We get older, weaker, stronger, fatter, skinnier. Our thinking, our feelings, and our actions change daily because we have flaws and shortcomings and weaknesses that need to change. We all need improvement, but God doesn't. He has no weakness. He has no need of improvement. He never changes His mind about His ultimate purpose. God made a promise to sinners that if we unconditionally surrender our lives to Him, we can enter into a love relationship forever. and God will keep his promise. Infinity isn't a number. The word infinite means having no limits or extending without boundaries. And it's hard for people like us to grasp infinity because we are bound by time. We were born and we will die, and everything that we do in between, meals, vacations, pregnancies, thoughts, sleep, play, it all takes place within the scope of time. All of it has a beginning and an end. But God is infinite. He has no beginning. He has no end. And as the psalmist wrote, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. That's Psalm 90:2-4. God is not only infinite in regard to time, but he's infinite in regard to space. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, in every place, at all times. David described it like this: oh, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. That's Psalm 139:7-10. Think about how important God's infinity is to you in terms of him keeping his promises. Time and space can be big problems when we try to keep our promises. If we say, I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock, but I get stuck in traffic, I am physically incapable of keeping that promise, keeping my word. I can't be in one place at more than one time, so there's occasions when I make a promise that I can't keep. But time is never a problem for God, and he can always be not only in two places at the same time, but everywhere at the same time. And this is important because it means that God knows everything about the past, the present, and the future simultaneously. We cannot know everything. Our knowledge of the past and present is partial and sometimes vague, and our knowledge of the future is just general. We're just making a guess. We know we're going to die, but we don't know when. We know that Christ will return one day, but we don't know when. But God knows. The words independent and immutable and infinite are difficult for us to wrap our minds around. But what these characteristics of God add up to is this: God is morally and physically incapable of breaking his promises. He's morally incapable of breaking his promise because he's perfect and he cannot sin. For God to break his promise, he would have to cease being God, and God cannot stop being God. He's physically incapable of breaking his promises because he can do all things and know all things and be all places without any restriction or boundary. So while we often break our promises, God's promises will never fail because of who he is. We can trust his promises because they are founded and grounded in his own perfection, his independent, immutable, and infinite being. But that's not the only reason that we can trust him. God is big. Philosophers have called his transcendent attributes, which is a fancy phrase that describes how different God is from us. When you encounter God's transcendence, you fall on your knees in awe because of his overwhelming majesty, his greatness, his immensity. We can trust a God that big to keep his promises. But in the presence of his greatness and power, it's easy to forget that he is not some grand, impersonal, cosmic ideal. We don't trust him to keep his promises because he's big. We trust him because he's personal. We trust him because he is love. He is so personal that he created us to know him and to be known by him. Isn't that wonderful? He is near to everything and everyone he has made. He is intimately concerned with us and involved in our affairs for all time. To the ones who know God, we can fall into the open arms of a heavenly Father who is merciful and compassionate. He's tender, slow to anger, abounding in love. And it's a love that's so unrelenting, so deep and intense, that he will track us down even when we're running from him. Aren't you thankful for that? For a Father who loves you so much. He knows every detail of our lives, and he's more aware of our darkest sin than even we are. Yet he loves us just the same, with a love so full that we find that we don't need anything more. Isn't that wonderful? That just takes my breath away. He is our refuge and our strength, the scripture says, a very present help in the time of trouble, Psalm 46:1.
We'll need to stop here today, but Debbie will bring us more of her teaching, Can We Really Know God, next week. And tomorrow, join us for a classic Don Klein program here on First Nation Ministries. Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much. I love to tell the story. You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.